God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, and we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm an allergy-impacted Todd Herman. Nothing wrong, just I get these allergies to certain temperatures where the allergies really hit. I was telling Randy, if you missed it, I loved the conversation we had yesterday with Tim Todd, pastor, who's helping with the Truth for Youth campaign. I mean, it's really his campaign, I think. TFY, truthforyouth.org, TFY.org is where you can go to give money to make sure that a Bible gets into a hand of a young person who pledges then to give it to another young person ages 13 to 8. One of the reasons it's done this way is it's construed to be illegal for adults to give kids Bibles in school. Construed to be. But it's not illegal for students to do it. It's God using the rules of the world for his good. You can also call 844-533-8, I'll say it again, 844-530-8890. One of the side effects of my allergies is it gets hard for me to talk and I end up sounding like a Biden brain, but it's just hard to talk. I'll talk about this. Tim Walz. So Tim Walz being selected to be installed as vice presidential candidate, installed. Let's remind ourselves, there's been no vote for Kamala Harris. The superdelegates have voted, the donors have voted, the grassroots, they cast 14 million votes for figurehead Biden. That doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's not going to be counted. And suddenly there's the enthusiasm, Kamala fever. But notice some things. There's something I call the propaganda of silence. Are Mockingbird Media are rigging elections again with the propaganda of silence? Think about the last time you heard a desperate story about Ukraine. Remember when Ukraine was the most important thing in the world? Our own border didn't matter because Ukraine. We couldn't have Orange Man Bad, literal Hitler, President Trump back in the White House because he might stop the war between Russia and Ukraine. We had to put our own budgetary needs aside. Remember, the stock market crashed on Monday. One of the biggest crashes in history, in fact, in some ways of counting, the biggest. And you are paying for the retirement for Ukrainian bureaucrats. We, this country, has given, accidentally, mind you, very much on accident, of course, $239 billion to the Taliban. And as we watch all this occur, here comes Tim Walz. So Tim Walz comes into this picture and we're told this is on what to focus. But when was the last time the Mockingbird Media did a story about the war between Israel and Ukraine? I mean, Israel and Hamas. When did that happen? When did that not become important? There's a reason why they've stopped focusing on that, because they want us focused on Kamala Harris so they can build her image. She's a really, really sincere Christian, you guys. So very, very, very sincere. But there's no fruits to show that. So they're going to install Tim Walz as VP to Kamala Harris, who's been installed. So a little bit about him. In Minnesota, there's no gestational limit for abortion. Just whenever. 9 months, whenever. If a kid, your kid or your grandkid or your neighbor, their child, decides to go to Minnesota to get an abortion or are trafficked and are sent to Minnesota to get an abortion, there's no parental notice required. And the police cannot help you find your kid if they're there for an abortion, because that's sacrosanct. And Kamala Harris is a very, very sincere Christian. She's ruled by her faith. Also in Minnesota, Tim Walz bribed parents to get their kids injected with the modified RNA injections, $200. And those modified RNA injections had no statistical possibility whatever, none, zero, zip, nada, of helping those children avoid the COVID flu. Just the opposite. Kids who got those injections were more likely to get sick with the COVID flu. Bribing children. In Minnesota, Tim Walz signed a bill into law whose full design is to confuse children sexually, to cause mental illness. It's the installation of menstrual products into boys' restrooms, ages, grades, rather, 4 through 12, fully designed to confuse. There is not now a boy who has ever had a period, nor will there ever be a boy who has a period. Oh, there's ways to fake it. And we are a family radio network, these 180 stations. We have an audience of one, that's God Almighty. We seek to please Him first. And then family members, the monthly donors and listeners, that's you guys. So I'll be polite. There are ways that very sick men who are applauded by Kamala Harris, affirmed by Kamala Harris, pretend to have monthly periods. I'll end there. It's a fact, but I'll end the description there. But there's one video that Walz made that really should, in fact, disqualify him for serving in any position in the United States government, let alone a state government. Putting COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. Well, all the Democrats did that, and it killed people. Hormone blockers and gender mutilation surgery for kids, he backs that, but Democrats have to. They're required to, because their party has been completely captured by evil. He supported the burn, loot, murder summer of riots in 2020. He didn't just support it. His administration stood by as statues were collapsed, stood by and tacitly applauded. But there's this one video. In it, Tim Walz shows himself to be a segregationist by convenience. Convenience, the convenience of power. I'll get the audio for you tomorrow, but Walz is seated in the gubernatorial mansion, it appears. The rich oak walls behind him and the gold leaf trim. And there are two flags behind him. One, the flag of the United States of America. The other, the flag of Minnesota. And Walz sits down, pretending to be ready to film an announcement. And then he looks behind him quickly and says, oh, wait, hold on. And he gets up from his chair. And he walks behind him where he'd been sitting. And he takes the flag of Minnesota off the set. And then he reappears with another flag, which he places right next to, and to my eyes, maybe even slightly above or higher than the flag of the United States. He sits down, looks back, and says, that's better. It's the flag of another country, of Somalia. He wants a Somalia in Minnesota. He is either, and God forgive me, I don't mean to bear false witness. I'm not going to call him a fool. That's God's provision. He appears to be a very stupid man or a desperately power-seeking, power-hungry, covetous man to build a nation within a nation. This is what you're going to get. It's already being got, so to speak, in England. There is a map that reveals the extent of violence and looting across major cities in the UK. And it happened after the latest stabbing tragedy. A newcomer, this is the new language, it's Orwellian, a newcomer, stabs a girl, a Briton, the latest in this chain of events, in a country within a country. In Rotterdam, there had been 1,400 girls who had been groomed, trafficked, and raped in Rotterdam, England. And social workers knew, and police knew, and the media knew, and no one would say anything because that separate nation has its own rules. that separate nation they've set up within their nation. They didn't want to be called racist, so they said nothing. Tim Walz is a segregationist by convenience. It's convenient for him to go get the support of Ilhan Omar, so he places the Somalian flag ahead of the flag of Minnesota and right next to, if not slightly above, the United States flag. He's willing to do that. That is not a man with any loyalty to the country in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form. He's a danger to the country. Kamala Harris is a danger to the country. More importantly, they themselves are spiritual captives. And they're wanting to go be figurehead and or leader of a country that cannot afford more figureheads and or people like that. The FBI had come out and said that there was a social media account bearing the name of the man who tried to shoot President Trump. And this unspecified social media account in 2019, 2020, when he was 14 or 15 years old, posted anti-immigrant and anti-Semitic content. So they put out some warrants and they went to a company called Gab. Gab is a lesser known social media entity. And I've spoken before to the founder, Andrew Torba, very smart guy, some really interesting views. He believes and backs a form of Christian nationalism that I don't back. He's clear, at least he was to me when I interviewed him, that he doesn't want a top-down theocracy by force, but he wants to see a Christian nation by voting, by virtue of voting. And I do too. I just want to make sure that it is organic. I want to make sure that the goal is saving souls, that the goal is discipling people, that the goal is bringing people to the Lord Jesus. And if a byproduct of that is we get more Christians in office, praise God, praise God, praise God. The greatest consolation prize in history would be to win our nation back, but it's a consolation prize. The top prize, of course, is to win souls for the Lord Jesus. Andrew and I differ just a little bit on that. Very nice man. I think he's a consequential man in terms of what he's done with Gab, which he basically runs on his own. The FBI went to him and demanded some information about the would-be shooters. Well, he was a shooter because he killed Corey Carpenter. He killed President Trump. So what Gab found out when they went and looked at this account was, no, the motives were not anything that the FBI said. He was unequivocally pro-Biden, absolutely in particular a pro-Biden immigration policies. He was pro-lockdown, pro-immigration, a left-wing Joe Biden supporter, because they went and pulled his account because the FBI told them to. They have published what the FBI demanded. Just the first page, he says, out of respect for law enforcement, the FBI absolutely unequivocally lied in stating that the shooter was posting anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic memes. That was a lie. And now we have coming in a Secret Service beset by a recent resignation of a disgraced director who has gone about wiping the cell phones of people who wanted to talk about January 6th. A whistleblower has said that director came along, Kimberly Cheadle, and demanded that cell phone be wiped. We also know this. If Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are installed and or elected, because they could win, people are going to vote for them. They could win. We're going to have, at the very top, people who prove themselves to have no loyalty to the country. Kamala Harris with open borders. Tim Walz setting up a country within a state within a country. And praise God. Because it will be yet another opportunity for us to remember we are not citizens here. We are visitors. We're sojourners. Praise God is another opportunity for us to live our faith and confidence in Him, trusting in Him, even thanking Him for showing people the blank stares of incompetence in government and the lying, cheating, arrogant eyes of all too many of the leaders. May they repent. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View, and we'll continue. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is a Christian school that has decided to fire people for a pretty good reason. It's going to end in a lawsuit. I'm sure that's always being filed. New York Post has a story. I'll tell you about that in a second. Did you hear the announcement for Truth for Youth? If you've never been privileged to sit with a young person when they receive their first Bible, particularly a young person who's become hungry for faith, and to watch them. And I'm even talking about 13, 14-year-old boys who are, of course, genetically inclined to act tough and hard. Then it's an aspect of God's grace you've never, ever experienced. What a gift. You have the opportunity to get in the hands of a young person a Bible, and that young person will pledge to hand it on to another young person. In that age group, that 13 to 18 age group, the words of friends mean so much more than the words of an adult, don't they? So this is a potent way to share. Super easy, three letters, tfy.org. Go make a donation there or call 844-530-8890. A school, New York University, Christian New York University, has reportedly fired two employees for using pronouns in their email signature. Good. You can do that in the world, but we are not of the world. Using pronouns as they are ascribed to fake gender ideology is simply another way to encourage lies and confusion and disorder. It is remarkable how easy that is a case to make. You could simply say this. I could say I'm a cat and have as much biological backing as you saying you are a woman if you're a man. And yet it lands so often on deaf ears. But at least we have the church. We should have the church. If your church is cozying up to this at all, please, please get with the elders and the pastors or do it privately. First of all, please, with love and grace and following biblical standards one-to-one first, please go address this. Some churches are fully infiltrated by politics. How do you feel about politics from the pulpit? And where is that line? Here's my line. If it's a direct violation of God's word, such as abortion, such as pretending a man is a woman, such as pretending that marriage is anything other than between one man and one woman, such as pretending that God never addressed, say, homosexual behavior or adultery, pretending anything doesn't exist in the Bible that does, adding or subtracting from the Bible, or any government policies that are a direct affront to that, then politics should never have to be spoken, ever. If we are solidly in the Bible, you should never have to tell a person how to vote. It's confusing because America is so often now people voting on personality. Have you seen Kamala Harris's website? Right now, her main website is simply a donation page. Period. Period. She is not going to go out and speak about policies. She's in the same bunker that they put Joe Biden in because it's about twerking and entertainment and rappers. It's about emotion and appeal. It's mostly about finally she's not Trump. And people can give themselves the solace of, well, she didn't screw things up. That was Joe Biden. She's just second in charge. She'll do things right. In church, for me, there is no politics. There's faith. The word of God should inform our votes. And if we're in the so-called social issues, they should be tiebreakers. Here's why. The Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus, pay your taxes. Render unto Caesar that which is his. And remember, Rome was corrupt. The Lord Jesus said, yeah, it's corrupt, so pay your taxes. Not because they're corrupt, but because these are the authorities that God has placed in charge. Pay your taxes. We can discuss outside of church tax rates. We could discuss wise spending. It is the social issues that should be the tiebreakers because it is the social issues that directly violate the word of God. It is the social issues that cause us to someday have to have a national Christian conversation about stopping paying taxes. I didn't say stop now. I am not encouraging a tax revolt. I'm saying there has to be a national Christian conversation about withholding taxes. It's coming. It has to. Why? Because the model of the Lord Jesus was, you do as the authorities say until it's about violating the word of God. Then you refuse. Up to the cross. Or in the case of Peter, up to, the tradition tells us, an upside down cross. Up to floggings. You refuse to violate the word of God. Eventually, that conversation will have to be had in our country. Do Christians continue to pay taxes for, let's say, pretending boys or girls? And the chemical outcome of that, the medicalized outcome of that. This is why Satan, through the Democrat Party and their operatives, is getting so serious about infiltrating the churches. The church has been infiltrated. Be mindful of who leads your flocks. Different pastors in Georgia have been caught delivering the exact same Democrat talking points comparing Kamala Harris to Barack Obama.
It feels like 2008 excitement. You see, like I said, from the outhouse to the White House. You don't feel the 2008 electricity in the air? I'm going to let this go in a second. You don't feel the 2008 electricity in the air? You don't feel the 2008 electricity in the air?
Donald Trump will not win.
I haven't been so excited about an election since Obama. 2008, Kamala Harris is going to win this election. She's going to win it. With our help, God has already done his part. Now it's up to us to do our part.
Let me first say, I've not seen this kind of excitement in Michigan since 2008, when we elected our first black president.
And on and on and on. The churches have been infiltrated. And none more, I think, than the so-called black church. Why did I say so-called? There's no such thing as a black church. There are churches that black people attend. And sometimes it's mixed race. And oftentimes, it's not even black first. Many times, it's Jesus Christ first. The Lord Jesus first. It's his church. It's important for people to understand something. I beg you to understand this. If you're in a rental car and you've gotten in and you're saying, who's this madman combining news with the word of his God? And if you're an atheist or you're accidentally tuned into this, you're leaning in, you go, wait a minute, what's this lunatic going to say now? I'm going to tell you this. The church that will not fall to the devil is Christ's church, period. It is his church. He makes the rules. He designs the theology. He already did. The Bible is not a mysterious, unreadable device. It's something that you can sit down and learn over time. You never stop learning from it because it's the Word of God. It is rich and always fulfills you in different ways. But it is Christ's church that will stand against the gates of Hades, not the Mick churches, not the fake churches, and not churches that have sold out to politics. I would beg those pastors to be honest with their flocks. If you got that sent to you by the Kamala Harris campaign, I would beg you, pastors, to admit it. Christianity Today ran an article that I find befuddling, written by Harvest Prude. That's a cool name. Sometimes I have name envy because my first name is a sound. Todd. I'm grateful for my parents. I love my parents. God rest my dad. Harvest Prude's a cool name. Here's the headline. Black Christian leaders find hope with Kamala Harris. They say Kamala Harris. The vice president's faith and commitment to issues stirs enthusiasm among the traditional Democratic voting bloc. There it is again. Stirs the enthusiasm. Just like 2008. Here's how they write up Kamala Harris. And I just ask you, as you listen to this, please ask a question. According to which fruits? What are the fruits? If you're new to the faith, you've tuned in, you're in a rental car, you're in your parents' car, your grandparents' car, we're talking about fruit as an outcome of faith. It's not works. We cannot gain the Lord Jesus' favor. We cannot earn redemption. But when we truly have faith for truly change, we will produce works like fruit. Here's the article. Vice President Harris isn't the type of politician to cite the Bible a lot. Daryl Ford, the former pastor of a non-denominational evangelical church in Atlanta, thinks that might be a good thing. We've gotten used to seeing people who will make Bible quotations and pray for me on Sunday, then vote to disenfranchise me on Tuesday, he told Christianity Today. Pause. He's concerned about voting and being disenfranchised. Okay, fair enough. Pastor, if you, in fact, were facing any disenfranchisement as a voter, I would fight, if need be, to preserve it or to get it back for you. I would. It's sacrosanct. The people you are backing are disenfranchising legal voters. By rushing into the country illegal immigrants, registering them to vote, knowing that they will make it onto the voter rolls, knowing that we do not police signatures, knowing that we do not do enough signature verification, barely any, knowing that we can flood the system with ballots, knowing that those ballots are then turned into images, the actual ballots burned, they know it makes ripe a world for vote fraud. They are also defrauding the country by changing the electoral college counts with these illegal immigrants. Their very presence in states and in congressional districts changes the balance of power. That is disenfranchisement. How is that fair, Pastor? How is it fair to your flock? Your flock of legal residents. How is it kind? How is it not disenfranchisement? Back to the article in Christianity Today. Ford and many other black Christians, and I see here that Christianity Today now uses the capital letter black, capital B black. Black is not a race, it is a color. It's not a country of origin, it is a color. You are inventing a nation called black. Ford and many other black Christians say they care about the faith of the new Democratic Party nominee who's replacing Joe Biden on the ballot in November, but they're focused on issues rather than rhetoric. The former pastor says black Christians support Harris because she has a good grasp on things like criminal justice and healthcare. Because she's in it, she's lived amongst it. She's not new to it. Even if I don't agree with her on a certain issue, I believe she has a good handle on what the issue really is. Okay, criminal justice, let's start there. What is just about taking two groups of protesters side by side? One group got out of hand, knocked down police officers, beat them, attempted to injure them. So did the other group. They did the same thing. One group is being put in solitary confinement for 3 years. The other group has been let go. That's criminal justice. In many black communities, small businesses were burned to the ground during the Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots, which Kamala Harris helped fund. How is that a knowledge of criminal justice and healthcare? That party, Pastor, and black pastors in general, that party apparently has no memory, institutional memory, of how corrupt government medical technocrats conned black people into taking injections that harmed them grievously, that lied to black families about what they were injecting their kids with. They did it again with the modified RNA injections. Fascinating statistic. Among the people least likely to get the injections were people with advanced degrees and black people. I wonder why. I think black people in America might have good reason to not exactly trust the medical authorities, particularly since there'd be a whole lot more black people without the abortion on demand industry. Back to the article in Christianity Today. Some black pastors who are known as theological conservatives have come out in support of Harris too. Dwight McKissick, senior pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, and an influential black leader in the Southern Baptist Convention until he left in 2021, praised Harris's superior qualifications on social media. I believe the energy, synergy, fundraising, volunteerism, momentum, driving, and characterizing her campaign is unprecedented in American political history, McKissick wrote. Kamala Harris represents those who've been rejected among us. The support she's galvanized is amazing to me. He said that while he doesn't agree with Harris on everything, he'll personally vote for her. McKissick specifically disagrees with Harris's position on abortion. She's believed to be the first vice president to visit an abortion clinic. She says she supports legislation protecting nationwide abortion access. Okay. Don't murder. You shall not. Versus energy, synergy, fundraising, volunteerism, and momentum driving and characterizing her campaign. Kamala Harris represents those who've been rejected among us. How? No, I'm asking a serious question. How? By opening up the borders and bringing the newcomers, which is the phrase we are now to use, into the country, giving them $2,200 a month, $10,000 in cash, and saying you can have this public school, mostly attended by black kids, as your new home, and then transplanting people out of existing homes for the newcomers? Pastor and other pastors, what are you doing? And to whom? Who are you actually persecuting? Kamala Harris likes to get donations, and when she does it, she wears a $64,000 gold necklace. Much more as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Hey, thank you for listening to Disciples View. I hope also that you will make a donation to Truth for Youth. This is a fantastic program. We had Pastor Tim Todd on. And if you're an AFR family member and you listen, and if you're a monthly donor, you have access to that program. And really, the pastor came on to promote the Truth for Youth campaign. The conversation was just fantastic. I left... Feeling the spirit, feeling jazzed, as it were. Is that okay to say still? Can we say jazzed? Out here in North Idaho, people, they use the phrase jacked in a lot of different ways. If you're jacked up, you're messed up, but you could also feel jacked in a good way. It's a weird phrase out here. It's a regionalism. The Truth for Youth Bible campaign does this. It's peer-to-peer. There are young people who take a pledge. When you provide them a Bible, a Truth for Youth Bible, they will hand it on to a friend, 13 to 18 years old. 1 million Bibles. They buy these 50,000 at a time, so they get an incredible price point on it. And I believe I heard the promo is 25,000 decisions for Jesus Christ because of this. This is an easy way you can help disciple others. Go to tfy.org, tfy.org, or call 844-530-8890. I'm one of those weirdos who refuses to give up talking about the after effects of the COVID shots. Weird because I know too many people who lost too many people to that and the medical interventions afterwards, the COVID hospital protocols. It is, in my mind, the single greatest human rights crime in my lifetime. I'm in my mid-50s. It is, in my mind, and by my way of looking at this, a continuing human rights crime, because of what it continues to do to birth rates, the ability for people to keep their kids, the obvious, in my judgment, contribution to turbo cancers, into heart attacks and lung problems. It happened that the only large-scale change made to human biology in that period of time were these shots. And we see the arrival of all these maladies. So I refuse to give up on this. This is a piece that will get you banned on YouTube. Dr. Charles Hoff speaks to Canada's National Citizens Inquiry. Dr. Hoff says Pfizer designed their shots to spread throughout the body from the heart to the brain to corrupt reproduction, thinking, and life.
I was fired after 31 years as an emergency room physician with not one single patient complaint against me in those 31 years. I was fired for saying that somebody who had natural immunity didn't need to be vaccinated against a disease to which they were already immune. Fortunately, I still had my medical license, even though I'd lost a significant part, at least 50% of my income, and I couldn't work as an emergency room doctor anymore. I still had my private practice. So when I discovered from the biodistribution studies that Pfizer had hidden, that we knew that these vaccines go around your entire body, they do not just stay in your arm. Pfizer's biodistribution studies on the lipid nanoparticles show that they literally take those messenger RNA strands into every part of your body. They go into your brain and your lungs and your heart and your liver and your reproductive organs and your bone marrow and everywhere. Which is, by the way, why these COVID shots have caused a greater array of side effects than any other medical treatment in history. Because this toxic spike protein ends up in literally every part of your body.
Now, you may have known that for some time about the nanolipid particles. Here's the question that is enduring for me. Are we supposed to pretend that every single doctor who worked in cancer at all didn't know that? Because if you worked in cancer at all, you understood the purpose of the lipid nanoparticle. Why? Because that's what they do with chemo. It's used to spread it throughout the body in end-stage cancer patients as an act of desperation. The cocktail of drugs that Tony Fauci's corrupt CDC, which is basically a pharmaceutical company, the cocktail of chemicals they gave people who got COVID in the hospital included the same, often, the same mix of sedatives and painkillers you would use for an end-stage hospice patient to hasten life's end. Often the doctors said, we're doing this because we need to be able to help your loved one breathe. Oh, that's weird. Those painkillers and sedatives actually lower blood oxygen. There are two lawsuits that are proceeding. They've been allowed to proceed. One of them charges civil abuse. It's not criminal. It's civil, but it's important because the hospitals and the doctors who killed, in my judgment, this young girl, this young woman, she was 19, named Grace, they knew what they were doing, and they cannot use the waivers the government gave them. They cannot use negligence waivers. It was purposeful. That's the charge, and it's been allowed to proceed. Praise God. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
Phenomenal. And this is a woman who says seven-year-olds should be allowed to demand wrong sex hormones and surgery. And those were words she spoke out of her own mouth. Incredible. That's even part of the Tower Babbling. It's just one of the intros. Thank you for the folks for putting that together. Thank you, Team AFR. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. Cammy Harris isn't beset by Parkinson's, but she has her own brand of gibberish. It's the gibberish of faux sophistication.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies. And what is at stake at this very moment? What is at stake this very moment are some of the guiding principles around the NATO alliance.
We're standing here on the eastern flank of the northern flank of the eastern flank. Same woman who was talking about our beautiful relationship and partnership with North Korea. Okay. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Kamala Harris wants government aid for natural disasters to be distributed by race.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity.
Based on race. Equity. Got it. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling features the man that the Democrats have installed as VP candidate below the woman they installed, overriding the votes of 14 million Democrat grassroots members who never got a chance to vote on an array of candidates. Tim Walz says he might invest in a ladder factory to help illegal aliens climb over the border wall.
And I think seeing a plan that's out there, talking about it with folks, knowing that he's not going to do anything. He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory. That's not how you stop this.
I'll invest in a 30-foot ladder factory. Same man who put right next, who removed the flag of Minnesota from behind him. It had been the American flag and the flag of the state of Minnesota. Removed the flag of Minnesota and replaced it with the flag of Somalia right next to, and to my eye, that flag maybe even a little higher than the flag of the United States of America. That's Tim Walz. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
It's kind of a heavy, heavy show. Anytime you have to talk about Kamala Harris and the votes, and we so often end the show with a personal observation from me. And very often, it seems to me, in the last few weeks, they've been kind of heavy, a little bit. I got to share something with you. I had occasion to run into a guy, and this is the second time he said this. I hadn't seen him in another 10 years. We see each other at these 10-year increments accidentally. And I ran into him in an airport. I'm not very often in airports these days. He's always in airports. He travels for business. So it makes sense that I would see him there. It happened this time. His family was with him. First time I've seen him since he's married. He got married late in life. Late-ish. I guess that's a judgment. But he got married in his 40s. And I got to see his family. I got to say, you're married. These are your children. And he said to his kids, who were about 5 and 6 years old, this is the guy who pulled that joke I told you about. I said, oh, Byron. Please, are you going to let that go? He goes, Todd, it was the best crafted joke ever. His wife said, you're the guy. She goes, Byron tells that story to everybody. So I have license to tell it. And I will say, I don't even know. It's not ungodly. It was well-intended. A practical joke. I used to be a bit of a practical joker. Remember when that was a thing, practical jokes? Here's what happened. Is I moved to San Francisco to work in radio way back in the day in radio sales, working for a guy who is my godfather, Gary. And I was new to big cities. I lived in Seattle, but San Francisco was gargantuan compared to Seattle at the time. Working downtown, trying to scrape by in radio sales before the commissions, you know, started to come in. And the guys there didn't tell me that there was a woman who would write you a ticket, a parking ticket, no matter what, until you bribed her. True. I kept getting these tickets. And they kept not telling me. I kept having to pay these parking tickets. It didn't matter if I was legally parked. And I'd go out and check and make sure the meter had expired. I didn't have that money. They finally told me that you need to bribe the parking attendant, the meter maid, a government employee. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to turn around. They said, yeah, good luck. Everyone's said that. Nothing ever happens to her. So one day we're at lunch and here came the meter maid and I recognized her because she looked me in the eye as she wrote me a ticket knowing that the time hadn't expired. This is before I learned how to fight these tickets. Now I'm really good at that. So they said, Todd, meet Mary. So I started to reach into my pocket to hand her money and she goes, no, baby, that's not the way it works. You just buy me lunch. Okay. Don't hand me cash. Okay. So once in a while, buy me lunch. Okay. I could park on the sidewalk after that. I'm not joking. I was late for an appointment in Oakland and I parked on the sidewalk and she saw me, hey baby, buy me lunch. So I decided to get back at Byron. He was the ringleader and not telling me. And he laughed and laughed and laughed. Here's what I did. He had not been paying traffic tickets. And he said, man, I got to get these paid. They were on this cubicle. They were stapled to the cubicle wall. There were a lot of them. I called the warrants division of the San Francisco Police Department, asked if there were any warrants out for Byron, and there weren't. And I learned that the warrants officer had a job where he worked overnight. I hired my dad into this. My dad started to make phone calls to Byron saying, I am warrants officer this, and you're in trouble, and I need you to turn yourself in, call me. So Byron would call and leave these messages. And the officer would get these messages. He couldn't reach Byron back during the workday. He worked in these hours. One day, I brought my godfather into this, Gary. I told him what Byron had done. This is a practical joke. I've set it all up. He participated in it. He called Byron to his office and he said, Byron, I got bad news. I got a call from the San Francisco police. They're coming by to pick you up. You haven't paid these tickets. Oh, no. I brought his girlfriend, Casey, into it. He went downstairs and he called Casey. She said, Byron, they're here now. They're going through your stuff. Byron was panicked. And then the receptionist, also in on it, came out. She said, Byron, there's a police officer here to see you. He walked into the lobby. There was a uniformed person there. And the uniformed person said, you're Byron? I won't say his last name. Yep. Face the wall, please. Byron's in tears. And then the music started. The song was YMCA by the Beach, or by YMCA. YMCA, Village People. Byron still didn't get it. He turned around and the fake cop was dancing and he still didn't get it. Finally, he got it. And he was frozen between chasing me or collapsing in laughter. And he remembers it to this day. And he remembers it good-naturedly. Thank you for forgiving me, Byron. Your family's lovely. In the beginning was the Word was with God, because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again together, at the courtesy of God, may His peace, that surpasses all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.